Yeah.
Got it? Okay. It's recording? Good. Okay. All right, well, we're in the book of Revelation. We're in the book of Revelation, and we're going to go to Revelation chapter 4.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, good to be here. Danny, I'm glad you brought your pawpaw with you today.
Yeah.
Granddad?
Granddad.
He needs a chair.
Huh? You want something? You want a chair?
Yeah.
Come and sit right here. Come and sit right there, and you can head out that way if you need to. We're just readjusting since we haven't been together in a while. Has that got enough power? Because it's not plugged in. If it's got enough power, don't worry about it. Oh, we're trying to get everything back to normal, maybe normal as we can get. So, God bless you. We're going to remember we went through the church ages through Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3. Now, remember, the Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3 is God in the church ages, God in the people, in the seven stars, and in the seven churches that were in each character, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, to make sure I get them right, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and then Laodicea. And we know for a fact we're at the end of this Laodicean age, heading toward the millennium, because after this church age is over, we take a rapture. For us, the church age will be over. That church age goes all the way through that old seventh day that goes all the way to the future home. So that's in time. Time's going to continue on through the millennium. It will be 1,000 years. It will be 360 days of the year, not 365 and a quarter. Right? And it'll be that time continue will go, but now when time will be no longer is when that new city comes down. And we're even going to still be in time when the judgment, we look in the book of Revelations where the books are opened and judgment is set. Well, that's still in time because those people that come up to that judgment bar are still in time. But now once that's done, once the devil's destroyed and all his imps are destroyed, all the spirits and evil things are destroyed, then God's going to set this thing back up the way it should have been had there not been a fall. Amen. Then there'll be eternity. Well, time, Brother Brown said, time will blend into eternity. Right?
Yeah.
And for us, it'll be we're in an eighth day now, but our bodies are in the seventh day, or in the seventh church age. Because we're in time. Right. That's why I said time would continue on after we're gone. So this is what's happening. Now watch Revelation. Remember this. Keep it straight. Brother Ryan will tell us. Revelations chapter 1 through 3. Everybody got that? It's showing the bride.
Yeah.
And the characteristics of what we've got to put up with from the beginning until this time right here. So that's the bride on earth. Everybody got that? Say amen. Because it's going to be important what we're going to talk about now. Because Brother Brown says in Revelations 4:1, the bride leaves the earth and is not seen until Revelations 19. That's a big jump from Revelations 4 to Revelations 19. Because what is Revelations 19? Us riding back in the millennium, still in time. We're coming back in time, but now we're eternal creatures. Right now, you're an eternal creature inside.
Right.
But you're still in the old seventh day because everybody that's born of sex is in the seventh day and you can't get out of it.
Yeah.
Unless you die or take a body change. All right, and then that releases that first birth that second birth can take over. All right. And that's what's going to happen. We had a question the other day about the change of the body. That's literally what's going to happen. Time is going to have to blend into eternity for us in a body here. It's going to be that the old body is not going to die, but it's going to have to move over enough for that, not new body, the body that's inside of you that's forming, can just take over the whole thing. Right?
That's right.
And that's what happened to Jesus. Jesus didn't have to get a new body.
Right.
He resurrected in the same body that he lived in. So are we. But remember, he turned back to 20 years old. Because the gardener didn't recognize who he was. Even Mary thought he was a gardener because he turned back to a 20-year-old kid. All right? Mm-hmm. I say kid. When you're 60 years old, 20 is a kid. When you're 20, it seems old. 20 yet? Well, not even close. 17? Oh, wow. I got shoes older than you.
When you say move over, that body's got to move over. Can you expound?
That is a example. You're not going to come out of this body. But your first body's got to yield to your second body. The first body your mom and daddy made is what's killing us.
But I mean, is this body just going to get younger and younger and younger?
Well, it'll be a change in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Yeah.
Just boom. Well, that's what happened to Abraham and Sarah. Sometime when they went to bed, they were 99. Say, preach it, brother. 99 and whatever she was. Okay, 99 and 90 or 85, whatever, she's old.
Yeah.
But when they woke up the next morning, Abraham thought he got in the wrong bed. Sarah thought she got in the wrong bed. But that's what's going to happen. It's going to be, but I don't think we're going to have to go to sleep for that to happen, because remember, that's a type. They died. Yeah. Remember, they continued on and they died. Same way with Lazarus. What am I saying? When we get a body change, it's not going to be a change us back to young people and then we get old and die again. Right. Ours is permanent. Jesus didn't have to. Jesus' body was old. Well, you know, he wasn't 33, but he looked old. But when he come out of that tomb, he was in that 20-year-old body that coincided with the theophany that was inside of him. And it just took over. That's what happened, because that soul released and went to hell, right?
Right.
Preach to the souls in prison, getting a little bit off the subject here, but anyway, we're fixing to take a change right here. So when he comes back up and when he steps inside that body, because remember, if somebody passes away at this moment, you don't have to open the door for them to get out.
Yeah.
That spirit becomes in a faster dimension of that soul, boom, and you're in another dimension. This one has to stay here, because what? We're life, light, and matter. We're solid.
Yeah.
Our spirit's not solid. The soul inside of you is not solid at the moment, okay? But one day, mortal will become immortal. That's what happened to Jesus when he stood up. You know, he said, all power in heaven and earth given unto me. In other words, when he, God Almighty in human flesh, was in a flesh, it was getting older. He could not change his body at the time he was coming up. Why? Because he had to be the ultimate sacrifice. He was the lamb, so the lamb had to be put up in flesh. But when he died on the cross, he said, into your hands I commend my spirit. We know what happened. The body just died. When the spirit leaves the body, it dies. Right? So that's what has happened in the past. Now what's going to happen is somebody's going to, Brother Brown, you know, makes the example that death's going to come up your sleeve. Well, it's not going to just start your gut dying. It's an example. When death comes on you, because listen, it's like Brother Brown said, I'm not afraid of death, but there is a little bit of a fear there, because you don't know the unknown. What is it like the very moment you pass away? And once, well, he told us. He just said you step over into another dimension and you don't want to go back to that one. So now there's some people that die that would like to come back, because they go to a bad place. I've always said about the jihadists and all them that get 70 virgins and all that other stuff, they have a real rude awakening when they die. When they blow themselves up, they are not in the same place that they thought they were going to. But now you and I, if you get born again, get the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, we know where we're going. There is no doubt that you, if you were to pass away, you're going to step over into that other, not another body, it's just this one that's inside of you is just going to move faster so it can go through that wall. And you're standing in a faster dimension, the sixth dimension. Thank God Brother Brown went there and told us about it. He said, why would you fear this? See? So we have an apprehension of death, but you should never fear death if you're born again. If you're born again, free pass. Free pass. All the way into the future home. But I would not want to be. Hey! I would not say amen. Say amen. 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 Just nod will do. That's what a lot of y'all do up in the sanctuary anyway. Just nod and smile. Or nod and fall asleep. But we've come to a place now to where we're going to take a rapture and then things are going to take place. So this is what I'm telling you to break up, to make up to this, is that we look, and Brother Branham says the bride goes up in Revelation 3:1, 4:1, and is not seen to Revelation 19. Well, there's a lot that goes on. Now, he says that's to the Jews. Now, that is correct because the prophet knows what he's talking about. And it's correct to us if we know what we're talking about. Right? Because Revelation 4:1 is us going in a rapture. But he says, look, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet. What? A message.
Yeah.
Talking to me. Now, who typed the bride? John typed the whole bride, right? Talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So that's typing the rapture, but you know what it's also typing? It's also typing Revelation.
Yes.
When you come to the end of the church age in your life, because we go through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the opening of the Word.
Amen.
Everybody got that?
Right.
One more time. First three church ages type justification.
Yes.
That middle church age types sanctification. Right? The fifth and sixth church age types the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the man, the intelligence. And then the eagle age is the revealing or the coming up higher, because without Brother Brown's message, we couldn't go no higher.
Right.
We just have to keep dying. Waiting on somebody. That's why I want to ask these people that doesn't think Brother Brown's the last prophet for the end time. Who's coming? Because somebody's got to do it.
Right. Right.
Somebody's got to bring a message to get us in that door.
Right.
Now, who's the door? Christ. Christ is always the door. But remember, there's a porter that stands in the door that opens the door and tells you what's inside.
Yes.
We preached that many times on the porter. Because there was a porter came in every age. Pentecost was falling down. Paul comes on the scene, opens the door.
Yes.
Lets the group in. Then God doesn't shut the door, man starts shutting the door. When man starts shutting the door, God sends Irenaeus. And he opens the door to the second church age, Smyrna. You understand what I mean?
Amen.
So you've got porters there in, what is it, John 10, I believe it is. It's where it talks about the porter. The porter stands at the door, and if you'll notice, in your very large hotels, which I've never been to, but one or two, when somebody else paid for it, was there's always a guy standing there with a tuxedo on, and some of them even have top hats on, and they have the cane, and they're, I guess you may call it a concierge now. It's somebody that knows everything about that building. Did I say that right? Is that close enough? Okay. Conscience. Nobody attempted to correct me, because most of the time they do.
June's not here.
That's true. Is that right, Aaron? A concierge is somebody that if you need to know where to go, what time to eat, where's the bathroom, where's the ice machine, you ask that person.
All the activities.
Do what?
All the activities.
All the activities in the area. That's what the porter does, because you know what? The porter has entered in. Because
yeah.
You see what Brother Brown says. I'm sorry, we're not getting anywhere. But Paul, God sends Paul. Paul goes into the mind of God, finds out what the people need, and then he steps back out, because you know he's not God.
Right.
He's a representative.
Right.
Because the concierge usually is not the owner.
Right.
And a porter is usually not the owner. The owner, you don't see the owner standing at the door of the hotel.
Right.
He's off somewhere else, okay? Because he built the thing. He built the business model. He built the plans. And he had somebody build the building. So he's off somewhere else. Does that sound like something familiar?
Amen.
God gives you the plan, builds the building, puts everything there. And yeah. He don't go off anywhere, but he's not on the scene. Who's on the scene? These seven stars. The porter comes out, stands at the door. Paul says, gives the message, or somebody comes to the door, and he says, this is what's inside. You go to the right, service desk. You go to the left, restaurant. And he tells, that's the same way as what's happening when God sends these characters, or messengers, in each church age. They're porters. And they tell you what's the mind of God for that time, period, that time period, not period, but that time period, each one of these. So here we have Brother Branham at the end, same thing, porter. But he's not just a porter. He goes back into the mind of God and gets everything we need to take a body change.
Yeah.
Okay? And it does make him a little special, but God's not a respecter of persons. But I'm telling you, he had a different, every person had one message to give. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, all born, Martin Luther, Wesley. But when Brother Branham comes, that's why it stumps people when he says, I'm not the messenger of Laodicea. He's not.
Right.
He'd be a Laodicea or a Pentecostal. That's the Pentecostal age. Because you got to look at Brother Branham with two things he had to do. Everybody else had to do just one. Bring your message. Preach to the people. Die. Go off sink.
Yeah.
Right? Brother Brown comes with two things he had to do. Number one, restore, just like all the other ones, restore back to. But he didn't restore us back to right here. The Alpha and Omega had to be the same. So he had to restore us back to the faith of the fathers in the first church age, which is the statue of a perfect man.
Right.
That's why it's so ill-taught in this message. But it's the very foundation of the first part of Brother Brown's message.
Amen.
If you can't get... You say, well, this is a mystery. Hey, Paul, Peter, they were all right here.
Right.
Yeah.
They had these virtues working in their life. So this is not something new. Brother Brown, now look, Brother Brown did come to bring us the pyramid and faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, faith, you know, to draw the chart. Remember he was sitting in the woods squirrel hunting. He said a revelation came and this is what he drew to preach the statue of a perfect man. But where did he get it from? 1 Peter, 2 Peter.
Yes.
Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge. But nobody had ever done this, so you can put this. Somebody can't see it, I know Dan signed this. Can see that Brother Brown put all this together, though. He takes Revelations 3, 1 through 3. He takes and positions all the messengers. See what Brother Brown's doing? He's restoring, just like Elijah did, in Kings. When the prophets of Baal beat down the altar, tore the altar up, first thing Elijah done, he never said a word. He went and started putting the rocks back on the altar. What? He was restoring worship.
Right.
So he's restoring back to right here. We can't get people in the message off from down here.
Yeah.
Baby faith. Because you're not born again right here. You're not born again anywhere except down here below the pyramid. If you're not born again, this is nothing but a beautiful picture.
Right.
I mean, really, it's just a pretty picture if you're not born again. Because
yeah.
You're born again at faith. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
God honors your faith just like he honored Abraham's faith and circumcised him. He honored Abraham's faith, your faith, and circumcises your heart and gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost according to your faith.
Yes.
Right.
But Brother Brown says, when God gave me this eye, he said, this is my eye, God gave it to me. So when God gives you the new birth, it's not his anymore. It's yours.
Yeah. Right.
So then you start again, as we've taught many times before, you start again then in justification, because what does justification do? The real you did it. We're not going to get anywhere but Revelations 4:1. Down here, the real you did it. When you start coming up through these things and you see God knocking a lot of this stuff out of your life, the trash, remember in Sister Shepherd Green, the trash? When he starts knocking that trash out, you go through another stage of justification. Not to justify you of your past sins. That's already done. But you start sinning again. Yes, you do.
Right. Yeah.
Why do you think all the trash had to be burned out after you get the new birth?
Yeah.
Why do you think you need all these virtues after you're born again? Well, I just got everything. See, that's what a lot of people say in the message. To me, that's a lazy Christian to say that.
Amen.
That I got everything I needed and I'm just going to sit at home or I'm going to...
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Folks, this is the fight.
Amen.
You're fighting your old nature all the way up through here.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But God's going to show you in this type of justification that the real you didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know you did it. Like I've always said, you drive by them places. I can't do away with them places I did bad things at. But you know what? God doesn't see them. That's why you should never, ever ask God to forgive you of your past sins if you've already asked Him to forgive you and you believe you've been justified. He's going to look at you and go, what sins are you talking about? But you do sin as a Christian. This is what Brother Brown's talking about. You sin as a Christian right here. You don't sin as a Christian down here because you're not a Christian until you get to right here.
Yeah.
Everybody got that?
Amen. Right.
I'm trying to get a little bit slow here. But we need to get out at 10:10 so we can get upstairs. Just about 3 more minutes. But then you go through, look, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. And remember, like Brother Dale said, there are definitions, human definitions, or what I say, the definitions that man has come up with. That's not what that is. Virtue to the world is that you're a virgin or that you have a virtuous life. But now, brother, well, are you kept yourself clean? You understand what I mean? But Brother Brown said this virtue was strength.
Right.
Power. Virtue went out from Jesus when the woman touched his garment. We get weak when things happen in the spirit realm. And you see people get a little bit weak because of different things. That's not man's knowledge.
Right.
Because the Bible says knowledge puffeth up and all these different things. Knowledge will run to and fro. Knowledge will increase. That's not God's knowledge. Yes, it is to a point. Because God, but this is God's knowledge. Brother Bram said to know what the Bible says and know what to do about it. You see what I'm saying? So you go through justification again.
Amen.
God keeps every day chopping off your past sins if you ask Him to forgive you of that.
Yes.
And make it right. Then you go through sanctification again. What is sanctification? Oh, Lord, it's cleaning and setting aside for service. So what, God's cleaning you up in here again. Okay? Because there is still unclean spirits right here because they're in your spirit realm. Not in your soul. Have I got that?
Right.
Then when you come up to here, that was the question the other day. Brother Brown talks about the Holy Spirit sealing this in. What? Adoption. Where it's not that you're just some Christian robot.
Right.
You're not a Christian robot.
Amen.
I don't do anything wrong. I don't do anything wrong. No. You come to a consciousness that when something does happen, you stop it real quick.
Yeah.
Instead of letting it go further like you used to do.
Amen.
All right, so you got justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Everybody got that?
That's
why they wrote Holy Spirit right there. But now, this is God Himself.
Right. Amen.
The founding fathers, if you want to say, are the first church age, didn't have this. This is Jesus Christ. This is the Son of Man. He went away. But He became the cornerstone, which is exactly a little pyramid. The headstone became the cornerstone.
That's right.
Built the church back up, and they stopped right here because they couldn't go any further. God had to send us a prophet to give us rapturing faith.
Okay.
To get out of here.
Yes.
Okay? So this rapturing faith, now we're going through, and we will realize that I am sinless. Because God said I'm sinless.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And this is what's going to take us out of here. We get all this together. That's what we're doing now. The porter has given us the message to get everything together so that we can go in this open door. It's not a door squeezed open. This thing's open.
Yes.
And the bride had to go up through that door. And then immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one. You're not going to meet three.
That's right.
One sat on the throne. You see that? Now look, that's italicized. One. One sitting on the throne.
Right.
And it's not, look, it's not even a definition for that, because one means
one.
All right, let's go.
That's right.
One means one.
That's the way.